this were 10 years ago, we wouldn't be talking about global warming or $4 a gallon gasoline. Now, you could argue $4 a gas and global warming will affect every state in America, but I think Florida is especially vulnerable. It's a state of sprawl, of distance, communities built around the automobile with little thought as to urban cores. And it's also a state where the 1 foot rise in sea level could be catastrophic in a lot of areas. So I'd be curious to get your thoughts in your years in Florida. Whether you're optimistic, as you probably have read, we're really hurting right now. The real estate market, it hasn't collapsed, but it's a great deal of trouble. But whether you think Florida is in the right direction, or Florida is all about the 20th century, not the 21st.
I should say that I think Florida suffers and continues to suffer from an inferiority complex. And part of that is that there are many constituencies in the state that believe that kind of the movement down there of older folks who are into retirement and their isolation from Florida as home. And I don't know how else to describe it. I could walk down the street with some communities in the wintertime and ask somebody, so where do you live? And the response would be Buffalo. and I wanted to hear Northeast, I wanted to hear we live over in this particular area, but they don't. Florida has to begin taking a role, as Gary just articulated better than I could, about the way in which global warming could impact the state. And you don't have to be a follower of Al Gore, of course, quote-unquote, the inventor of the Internet, to be able to see that we have real problems in that state with just minor continuous changes in the environment. But Florida is not taking a leading role in that. And until they can bring those groups together and get them to coordinate across superordinate goals and be able to get good government in there that is focusing on the long-term best interests of the state, I think they're going to continue to have difficulties.
Maine is a highly forested state, the most forested state in the nation, with 17 million acres of forest land. And in my opinion, some very progressive people who own that land and who now see the opportunity to move beyond the pulp and paper and lumber industry into a new future in biofuels and bio-opportunities, not just in the fuels, but the green chemicals and all the other opportunities that exist from being able to change wood into the same components of what we get from petroleum. We sit on the edge of Cambridge, basically, and they like to describe Maine as having a great quality of life, and we're starting to see the benefits of sitting on the edge of Cambridge with more of that intellectual property starting to move towards Maine and living in Maine and seeing the opportunity to use the resources in Maine. I served on the board of the Maine Technology Institute and founded it for 6 years representing forestry and agriculture, and we granted about $6 million a year to innovative technologies that created jobs for the state of Maine.
I think one of the things happening in places, and maybe Maine has resolved this, but I know Florida hasn't resolved it. And when I was in Oregon, they had not resolved it, is how to best utilize the natural resources of a particular state, including its coastlines, so that it is renewable. And there's an enormous amount of pressure from some groups, some political parties, and from some business groups in order to exploit more of those resources for the short-term gain. And it sounds as if Maine has figured it out, whether or not that's a good economic decision or not, it's probably a good lifetime decision or a lifestyle and long-term decision for the state.
Yeah, Ron, I'm a Mainer, but I got my PhD at the University of Florida, and now I'm retired and living 6 months and 1 day in Florida and in the summers in my home in Maine. So I have, I think a perspective, I think of a more committed resident than the ones you were referring to before. I'm a senior, but I have family ties to Florida and relatives in Florida, And, you know, being a Gator, you know, gives me a commitment to Florida. So I, you know, I totally agree with your negative outlook about the future. The, you know, the legislature, you know, has been meddling in, particularly in education, you know, in the lower grades. And I have a brother-in-law who's a teacher, and I think it's had a devastatingly negative effect on the public education system in Florida. I'd be interested in your view on that.
There were several things that I think happened, and it goes back to this idea of community. When they tried to solve segregation in the 21st century, which in and of itself I think became a disaster, they removed the idea of the neighborhood school. And I think that really caused enormous amounts of problems. I look at when I was in Oregon in a very different community, but every Friday night, much of the town would show up to the high school football game. We were all deeply embedded in that school. Our kids went there, but if your kids didn't go there, they had gone there. And if they hadn't gone there, they were the kids working in your community. And it really was designed to serve that local area in a number of different ways. And there's a great sense of pride in that school. When they had this open plan where they moved kids all over the place according to their race, they eliminated that sense of place, that sense of care. And it was one more way in which they changed the sense of community. I think you're absolutely right. I think you've articulated it very well. I think the school system has to be the centerpiece of what we do, and that goes all the way through the university level.
I'm just wondering, you know, based on the future of both communities, is there a specific recipe that has that potential in terms of mixes of a community as opposed to one that's almost lily white?
America made a mistake when it tried to become a melting pot. It worked for a long time, but it's not going to work in the 21st century. He said that Canada is all about the stir fry, and the stir fry is that each of the individual flavors are not molded into vanilla, but instead are allowed to grow and prosper and affect the palate in different ways. And it was a really remarkable way in which they thought of themselves, and they thought of themselves as different from the United States. The companies today are looking for executives that can solve that puzzle. And the puzzle is not to bring everybody together, have them hold hands and sing Kumbaya, though that gives you a feel good. The whole idea is to allow each of those different communities, to allow all of the different cultures and sub-communities and things that exist, to have an individual identity within the larger collective. And that means that they have political power, they have social power and social suasion. They're able to exert themselves in ways that help try to create and to solve the problems that go across everybody, but at the same time allowing them to continue to be different. And no one has really resolved it, but I do know that Florida has continued to struggle with it. Look at the work that Gary has written over time, and you can see some of those same struggles. My wife got very involved in Gary's books, so she would point out to them over time. She'd go, look at what he said here. Look, she goes, it still exists today. And I have to say that Maine, and I've done some work in that area, but it doesn't represent the way in which the rest of the world operates. And so I think that if I were in an institution like the University of Maine today, I would be doing everything in my power not to necessarily create diversity there, because maybe it doesn't necessarily blossom there, but I certainly would give those students, I would insist that those students have opportunities to visit multicultural environments, to begin to appreciate how that multiculturalism helps triangulate around problems with unique, different kinds of solutions and ideas, and learn to respect the kinds of input that could happen. As you know, a lot of my own research has dealt with impoverished consumers, primarily from diverse communities, and how they try to engage the larger culture. And I would be very interested in some of these bigger issues as well. So thank you all for taking the time to listen. Gary, thanks for staying at USF. You give an intellectual light to a place where it needs a bonfire. So thank you.
Thank you
all for taking the time to listen to me.
Thanks, Ron. Thank you. Bye-bye.